this is all rather strange. Welcome to the first podcast from A Little Bit About Not A Lot. I'm Marcus, as some of you will know, and I guess you should all just bear with me on this first podcast as I kind of fumble my way through trying to put something together that should be entertaining or at least interesting. As it's the first podcast from the blog, I'd love to hear what you think about the podcasts in terms of whether you think they're working, if you think the content is good or bad, or if you have any suggestions for things that you'd like to hear in the show. I'm calling it a show. It's not really a show at the moment, but you know, I have to use terminology. You can do that by going on the blog on www.alittlebitaboutnotalot.co.uk and leave a comment on the blog post which will accompany the podcast. If you don't use the blog itself, you can also do it directly on alittlebitaboutnotalot@googlemail.com. And I'd love to hear what you think if you've got a spare moment to let me know. So, what's going to be in this first episode? Well, I thought I would cover a bit about the trip preparations for the upcoming trip that Paul and I will be embarking upon on the 23rd of September. It's only a matter of weeks away now, and I guess going over the kit that I'm bringing, you know, the sort of weights we're looking at, and kind of the plan or the itinerary, if you like, for the trip. Just because I thought that might be probably the most interesting place to start. Perhaps in the future we'll extend this to more than that, and perhaps look at you know, trip reports itself, some interviews with other people if we can, either on the phone or over Skype. Again, it all depends on how this all pans out and whether or not you guys think it's worthwhile. So, as I said, we're going off to the Highlands of Scotland on the 23rd of September for, it'll be 6 days in total, but a 5 day crossing is what we think we will take. We are flying from Birmingham to Inverness, and that presents a number of problems in itself, despite how convenient it is, and I'll talk a little bit about that later. But the background to the trip is really, I guess, down to the fact that Paul and I are relatively new to lightweight backpacking, or backpacking anyway, heavy and lightweight, and we've not really done a long trip like this before, and we wanted to do something that would kind of push our boundaries to date to give us a bit more experience. And so we were both on the lookout, really, of something to do, when I came across the crossing on another blog which I follow. The blog title is Backpacking Bongos. If you do a Google search for that, you should be able to find it. And I'll include that in the show notes. I'm hoping just to have a link of the things that I refer to, so it's easy if you do want to go back and refer to them. But the blog owner, James Balter, I think that's your name, James. Sorry if I've pronounced that incorrectly. But he wrote a particular trip report from each of the days that him and a friend had crossed from Evanton to Ullapool, which is just north of Inverness, and it just captured the imagination. Up to this point, Paul and I had been kind of loosely planning a trip which was going to take in part of the Cape Wrath Trail, and being cheaters, we were going to do the latter part of that trail, which is, I think, on average around about 2 weeks, and most of you will, I think, have heard of that already. I'd came across that from, again, another blog stroke podcaster, which is Bob Cartwright from backpackinglight.co.uk, and I'm sure most of you will know of Bob already. And he'd done a podcast covering a trip that he'd done part of the Cape Wrath Trail, I think going up to, from Inchnadamph, I think, to Cape Wrath and back. Unfortunately for Paul and I, as I started to plan the kind of days we had in terms of holidays and other commitments, it didn't seem that we would have enough time to take off to be able to do that latter part of it. And despite the fact that we shortened the trip as best we could and decided we would start from, I think, Ullapool is what we said we would do, we just haven't got enough time to get up to the Cape and then get back in the time we had. We're needing another 2 days at least, and that was kind of making it very long days at that. So I've decided to put that back for another time, and I think possibly with the benefit of hindsight and a bit more experience of reading, we might not quite be ready for such a trip like that anyway. So we've settled on this trip now, and we've put our heads together and come up with a trip which is probably shorter. Well, no, not probably, is shorter than James's trip. So we've got a few longer days here and there, and I think a slight adaptation to the route, which means we'll do the trip starting in Evanston on the 23rd and arriving in Ullapool, I think, on the evening of the 27th. And then we fly back from Inverness to Birmingham to return to work, the dreaded work, on the 28th is when we'll fly back. So it's going to be a longish trip for us, the longest we've done to date. And we've just been making those preparations in the last, well, it feels like forever, but time is kind of passing quite quickly, and I'm hoping that we've got everything ready before we go. So as we have decided to fly, because it was more convenient, and I think price-wise it turned out to be actually quite good, we thought we'd, you know, got everything in the bag. But my inexperience has unfortunately taught me a lesson, and that is because we're having a couple of logistical issues with trying to get things like fuel onto the plane, which you can't do for our stoves. And so we're going to have to make a stop in Inverness, which is kind of sounds like it's absolutely nothing, but timing on the first day is pretty tight, so we need to be on the move really as quickly as possible. So our flight arrives at 1:30 at Inverness, and we need to grab a taxi, which we've already pre-booked, and we'll go straight to Inverness, pick up some meths and some gas stoves for Paul's jet boil, and we'll head off to Evanston to start the walk. We'll probably not get going till around 3, I would imagine, sorting the packs out again, because we'll have to put things like tent poles and walking poles in the bags to get them into the hold. So we'll have to have a little bit of, I think, reorganisation in the packs before we go. But then we should be on our way. And I'm really looking forward to it. The day is quite long. I think we've got about 12.5 miles to do on day one. And we'll be camping at the end of Loch Glass. I think that's how you pronounce it. So we'll be going past the, I think it's Wavis Lodge or Wyvis Lodge, and camping somewhere alongside the river, maybe a mile or so beyond the lodge, possibly further. We'll have to see when we get there. But at the moment, it looks like we're arriving in the dark, so it'll be the first night we'll be setting up in the dark. So that should be an experience, if nothing else. We obviously have had to make some changes to our usual kit lists, which kind of usually only include a short break, one or two nighters in the Lake District or the Black Mountains in Wales. So we I've had to make some additional purchases which we hadn't really kind of envisaged until we really put our heads together and started to think about what we might need for the trip. So things like tick removers. I know that Scotland is known for its ticks, especially on the TGO Challenge, or at least that's how I've learned about them. And so I've had to buy something that will remove the ticks, and I've done that. Things like pack towels. I've had to buy a pack towel. And I've gone with the MSR pack towel, which I think is a microfiber towel in size large. And I think that's probably just enough to in terms of weight and functionality for a trip like this, to have to keep clean and things. Obviously, things like my hygiene bag has increased in size, and I've added things to it that I wouldn't normally bring. Things like foot rub, suntan lotion, I'm trying to think what. Oh, some hand lotion and things like that, and some mountain suds, so non-chemical, organic soap that's made from completely natural ingredients, so that we can at least keep ourselves and our clothes clean if necessary. In terms of the clothing, we've also had to bring, obviously, some change of clothes, which I wouldn't bring normally on a one or two nighter. I would probably just go with a pair of trousers, a base layer, a mid layer, and then over trousers and a waterproof jacket in case the weather's horrific, wet and windy, etc. And this time I'm having to bring spares purely because of the duration, really. I don't really want to be smelling that badly when I arrive in Ullapool, all being well, of course, or on the plane back, from Inverness to Birmingham. Whilst it's a short trip, I wouldn't wish the smell of, filthy backpackers upon, business travellers, for example. So we're going to have to bring some spare clothes. And in my pack, I'm bringing a spare pair of trousers, a spare lightweight merino base layer, obviously socks and underwear, again, which is merino, and I think that's probably it, actually. I'm not going to bring much else. I don't think there's much need to bring anything else other than that. So, but they're all adding to the weight, and the trousers I've bought are the classic Montane... Are they Montane Terror trousers? Yeah, sorry, that's what they are. And the top is an icebreaker short sleeve base layer, which will be good if it's actually warm. You never know. It will be the end of September. But if it's quite warm, I'll be able to wear that, but also be able to wear that in bed and things and change things around. Great things about the trousers and the base layers being merino and things like that is that they will dry very quickly. And so if I do want to give them a wash or they do get wet for whatever reason, they should dry fairly quickly. The other kit that probably I should talk about is an addition to the pack. And it's probably controversial for me more than anything because I'm not entirely convinced and haven't had that much time to test this new piece, and that is the much talked about NeoAir mattress. This, as most will know, is not a self-inflating closed cell foam type. It's just purely an air mattress, and it doesn't have anything in it in terms of insulation apart from a silver backing on the inner just to reflect some body heat from the ground. And I received this week. I've blown it up, and it seems very, very sturdy. I'm very surprised at just how sturdy it seems. I've left it up in the loft over a couple of nights, and it doesn't seem to have gone down. So it's the only test I'm going to be able to give it, and I'm quite anxious about the gamble I'm going to be taking. But I am going to bring a repair kit, and you know we'll be monitoring to see how this goes. But The reason I've got it is because comfort on the trip, I think, is going to be essential. For that many nights, if we don't find a particularly great pitch or it's slightly lumpy or whatever, I really don't want to not have a good night's sleep knowing that we may have to walk, you know, 12 and a half miles with heavy packs. And I guess whilst we should have enough time to find a decent pitch, it would just be nice to be able to relax on a slightly longer mat as well. Because that's the other benefit of going with a NeoAir, is that it's slightly longer than my multi-mat short, which is still fairly light in itself, but just isn't as long. So this will make a comfort benefit as well as a saving benefit in terms of weight. And that is, I think I'm saving about 30 grams in total. In having this, despite how much extra length I get, I think it works out at about 15 centimetres longer. It may be less, actually, possibly 10. But it's certainly enough that I can now get my head on the pillow, on the mat, and my feet will just dangle off the edge. I mean, I rarely sleep out flat anyway, so it should be, a good addition to the pack. The most surprising thing for me was just how much how small it packs down. It goes down really, really small inside the stuff sack provided, and that has given me much more space in the pack. Whilst the multi-mat one isn't particularly huge and does pack down small for a self-inflating mat, it is much bigger than the NeoAir, which, to be honest, is tiny. So there's a weight saving, a space saving, and hopefully a comfort benefit coming from having the NeoAir. But time will tell. The other piece of kit, which is probably the most exciting for me at the moment, is I've made a new purchase in terms of the rucksack. Some will know from the blog that I've been looking for a lighter pack than the one I currently have, which is the GoLite Lightspeed. That weighs in at 1,158 grams, according to my scales, which isn't a lot at all for a framed pack. I think it holds 49 litres in total, and that includes two sort of smallish mesh side pockets and a rather large front open pocket. And I think, whilst I love the bag, it's very comfortable. It's been really good for the trips I've used it on and carries weight very well. It's just one area I've wanted to be able to kind of reduce in terms of size, because I think my gear has got smaller as it's got lighter in most cases, and this bag is probably a little big. But I wasn't convinced of that until I packed the bag properly the other night in a loft, and I found that I had... With more conservative packing, be a bit strict, less lazy about where I put things and planning properly about how things are packed, and using better stuff sacks and shaping the stuff sacks into spaces, I found that the 49 litres is a little bit too much, even taking into consideration that I'm having to carry a pair of Crocs for river crossings, which you know, they take up a fair old bit of room. So I wanted to go for something smaller and didn't think I could. So I was originally looking at the Mariposa Plus, which I think is a larger pack, I think rated somewhere in the 60 litre sort of size, I think. And I couldn't get hold of one of those in the UK, and I also couldn't get hold of them direct from Gossamer Gear either. Grant Sybil had emailed me a couple of times to try and sort of give me an idea of when stock might be coming in, but it's looking very unlikely for September. So I'd pretty much given up on that on the basis that I just didn't think I'd be able to get hold of one. And then I packed my bag over the weekend, and with some conservative packing, I noticed that I just had so much more space than I thought I was going to have. And at one point I'd been considering whether or not I'd need a much larger bag, and hence why I'd looked at the Mariposa Plus in the first place. But now, having seen that I've got this extra space, I suddenly realised that the Gossamer Gear Gorilla is in the running. It's only marginally smaller. I think it's quoted at 39 litres as opposed to the 49 litres of the Lightspeed. But it represents a great weight saving, really. The Lightspeed is 1158 and the Gorilla in a size medium is 658. So not really to be sniffed at 500 gram saving, almost exactly. So I'm pretty impressed with that. All that remains to be seen, though, is whether or not it will arrive in time, because I've ordered it from Gossamer Gear in the States. There's no stock in the UK. And because of the sheer cost of the posting, I went with US Postal Service, their international service. And whilst their service is generally okay, I think when it gets to our end, the mail handler here generally takes a while, or can take a while. And it will just, I think I'll be cutting it quite fine as to whether it arrives in time. So fingers crossed on that one, I think. I'm not going to get paranoid about weight, but you know, having my base weight at 7.5 kilos with the Lightspeed was quite a good weight, I thought, for you know, a 5/6 day crossing, carrying all the food and everything. But you know, I wanted to make some savings wherever possible. So getting that, if I get that Gorilla, that will take the base weight down to 7 kilos. But the biggest area for me, and as I'm sure most of you more experienced walkers will know, is the consumables weights. I've got, I think, in excess of 3.5 kilos worth of food, and that includes a litre of water in the pack at any one time. And, you know, that's everything, including my breakfast, lunches, evening meals, kind of snacks and pick-me-ups, if you like, for along the way. And, you know, well, I know it's not really avoidable, but I am trying to reduce the weight wherever possible. I've opted in the morning for a mix of breakfast, really. I like muesli and I also like porridge, but also I understand that Paul and I are going to be trying to conserve as much fuel as possible, so hot meals being reduced as much as possible if we can. The odd lunch and, of course, evening meals will need to be heated, really, with boiling water and rehydrated. But the breakfasts, you know, I'm trying to mix up. So I've got a mix of 2 portions of porridge, 2 portions of muesli, and I think I've gone for a kind of a... Yes, I have, yeah. I've gone for a cereal breakfast on the last one, purely because it just, you know, at least one day we'll be able to get up and get an early start without having to worry too much if needs be. But I do like to have the porridge for nutritional value as well as the you know, the taste as well. So that's what I've got for breakfast. And then I've got in throughout the day, I've got some snacks, things like Jelly Babies, which I find to be absolutely brilliant as pick-me-ups. In terms of weight, they're no worse or better than anything else, but in terms of the energy, energy for weight is quite good. There's hardly any fat, and it's mainly sort of sugars, and really is a good pick-me-up in between meals, really. I'll have the usual Mars bar or Boost or something in between, and then obviously I'll go on to my lunch. But I've gone for, again, lightweight things that I can just put boiling water in. And for most of those, I'm going for hot lunches. So I'll be going for a couscous dinners with some pepperami sort of thrown in for some spice and some protein substance. And the same with some rice as well, some quick cook rice, which I think has already been dehydrated, not by me, but will only take about 5 minutes to rehydrate with hot water. So I'll be slipping those sorts of things into a cozy and cooking those. So I'm not doing too badly, I don't think, in terms of the weight of food, because all of it is dehydrated wherever possible, or always the lightest version of what I think I can get away with. And of course, the evening meals, they're dehydrated too. I've gone for the Drytec Real Termat meals, which was been recommended to me by Robin off of, I think his blog, Packing Light, is his website. Oh, sorry, his blog. And Alan Sloman. I think most people know Alan Sloman. If you have a look at Alan Sloman on Google, I'm sure you'll come across his brilliant site, which I think he created originally for his Le Jog. But he and Robin have been recommending these for a while, and I finally bought them. And aside from the expense, they're sort of about £7.50. I think I've got them for an average per pack, and I find that quite pricey. But, I mean, I've now tried one of them. I had a pasta Provençal, I think it was, and it was impressive. Impressive in how quickly it rehydrated, for a start. I mean, 5 minutes for a dehydrated meal is impressive. And the quantity was perfect for me, really. And then the calorific value, I think, is 570 calories. So I think that's impressive, really, for an evening meal. And I can supplement that. I've got a sultana and a strawberries and cream dehydrated dessert for one or two nights. So you know, I've got some food in there that I can look forward to, and also I think it's given us substance, which I think is pretty good. I also want to talk about a couple of other additions to the pack, and that is out of necessity, really, for the trip and the terrain that we'll be presented with whilst we're on the trip. The first thing is some crocs, or crocolikes, as Paul likes to call them. And these are to aid with the river crossings and sort of pottering around camp. Normally, if I were doing a one or two night trip in the lakes, I wouldn't bring these. And in fact, I haven't owned a pair up to now. And so I've had to make room for these and take the hit on the 349 grams that mine weigh. I've almost become a little bit obsessed with it, because I know that I need them. There's no doubt in my mind, but 350 grams seems fairly heavy to me for, you know, an item that will have very limited use. So I've even tried thinking about how I can cut them down a bit and, you know, take parts out of the shoe to save weight. But fortunately, I haven't. But I would be lying if I said I hadn't considered it, purely because of just the weight, really. I mean, I've got a way of attaching them to the pack, and it's not a problem in terms of carrying them. So, you know, that's not the issue. It's more to do with, I think, the getting over that psychological barrier of knowing that I have 350 grams worth of, you know, an item that will only be used during a limited time. But then again, I suppose you have to look at it as if to say, I wouldn't be able to cross the rivers, you know, or have, you know, air getting to the feet around camp if I didn't. So I've taken the hit on those, but it's just one of those things I thought I'd bring up, because I'm sure that other people must have had this kind of dilemma at the same time. I guess one way around it would be to buy unlined Innovates, like some people do, and use Gore-Tex socks, but I don't think I'm ready for that yet, and my Innovates are still only, you know, a couple of months old at least. So you know, when they've kind of worn low a bit, I may replace them, but I'll have to come to terms with the Crocs idea for now. The only other thing I've had to get, which I probably wouldn't normally bring with me, if I was going again, as I say, for a couple of nights. And the other thing is a toilet trowel. I've never brought one of these with me. I don't own one, or haven't owned one until now, because most of my trips are short, circular routes, and my body is strangely able to control its movements whilst I go on these trips. But given that we will be away for 5 days, I know that isn't going to be possible. And so I've been looking into these toilet trowels. Now, I think they're unbelievably heavy, some of them. You know, I've seen one that's ranging from sort of 400 grams to 150 grams at the lightest I'd seen. And they're, you know, relatively pricey and more bulky, I guess, than anything else, even the folding type. And so I was really, really lucky to stumble across one of Colin Ibbotson's articles on Andy Howell's pages. I think he'd picked up a brilliant idea from a young chap on the TGO Challenge this year who'd taken an MSR tent peg. I think it's one of these sort of snowy types. I think it's available from Ultralight Outdoor Gear, I think. And yeah, basically it's just a tent peg with a closed cell foam sort of wrapping, you know, the type you'd use from a roll mat or a sleeping mat, the old sort of foam type. And it's just, I've gaffered mine, or you can sort of use some kind of rope or lashing to make a handle. But it's incredibly light and incredibly comfortable. I think mine weighs in at, I think it's 31 or 32 grams. I'll have to check the spreadsheet. And it's really effective. I've tried it in the garden. It will soon dig a hole, you know, big enough for what I want to put into it, if I can be crude enough. And it's so light. I mean, I haven't made the kind of the attachment so you can hook it or clip it onto things. I will just lash mine down with some bungee cord, I think, to the bag, so it's always external to the pack and always handy. But yeah, another impressive piece of kit that, whilst I wouldn't normally bring it, I guess I would consider bringing it now just in case, purely because it's just so light. I mean, I sniffed at the 150-gram type I'd seen, and of course would never consider one of the 400-gram or 500-gram types. But this is definitely something it might make into the pack, I think, on a permanent basis. Well, I've talked a lot on this one, so let's wrap this up. I look forward to hearing what you think about the podcast, and you can contact me on www.alittlebitaboutnotalot.co.uk or drop me an email on alittlebitaboutnotalot@googlemail.com. Thanks for listening.